We're off.
We're off. And we're off.
FOH is, I wish I was about to try to do like a, and FOH is heading to the, we got, you know what I mean?
That would be so cool. Can you, I mean, okay, I was about to say something so stupid.
No, say it now. You have to say it. What?
Oh my God, I was about to say, can you learn how to do that as if it was like an innate ability that those people have? And you like come out of the womb and you're like, and they're like, he's gonna be a caller. Yes, you can learn how. You know what? Now that I'm talking about it, you have to be able to learn how.
You know, when you're born and you're sorted into occupations, that's just one of them. And it's carpenter.
And if you can do that, you become that.
It's either that or they throw you into the auction pile. It's either auction or racetrack. You know, it's one or the other. You got to pay. And that's up to your parents, ultimately. That's up to what, you know.
Ultimately, yeah. It's like, what are their values?
Right. Do they want you to be, you know, at Christie's, or do they want you to be at the fucking racetrack? You know, the Greyhound racing.
The racetrack.
Is Greyhound racing just a Massachusetts thing? Do other states do that?
No, I think that's pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, I think they banned it. I think I voted for that. Anyways, memories.
I think they did ban it, and I'm pretty sure they should.
I just remember one year it was like, the ballot was like Greyhound racing, weed, and like one other really weird thing. And I was like, well, I love this state. This is interesting, you know, now I'm voting.
And that's how you get people.
And that's how you get to the polls. Exactly. Kelly, hi. Welcome to FOH.
sorry guys.
I'm Lillian Devane.
We've already been talking for like an hour.
Yeah. I'm Lillian Devane.
I'm Kelly Sullivan.
It's a service industry podcast and an ode to fast talkers.
They should do one issue, like every national election should have one kind of like gag thing that we vote on.
It's like, should men be allowed to, like something that's like, yeah, like something that makes, yeah, it'd be like a funny, yeah.
One that would be
like,
funny.
No matter how you vote, it's not like, nothing's going to happen. It's just a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, or they should do every 4 years, just do ultimate who wore it best. And that's how you
like
get
hot
people
or not.
To vote.
Like rate the like, yeah, I think that would be fun. Yeah. Best. J-Lo in 1997. Mariska Hargitay in 2004. Or Elaine Stridich in whatever.
Oh yeah. Perfect. That's how we get
You get the Gen Zs to the poll.
To vote. Does Gen Z vote?
You mean like culturally?
Culturally.
Good question. I don't know. I don't really hear them talking about voting.
I don't hear them talking about voting, but I also don't hear them being like consciously being like, I do not do that.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out soon, huh?
Yeah, that's so true.
I kind of don't think the election's going to happen for one reason or another.
It's so random because it's like 4 years ago in April. You know what?
Yeah, what was going on 4 years ago?
Things are pretty different.
What was happening? Things
are pretty different. Wait a scratcher. But it is like there's been so little, comparatively little, campaigning as of yet.
It's because Trump's on Twitter.
Totally
bring him back on Twitter. Get him in there.
I know it. Yeah, get him to mix it up.
I know it's boring out here.
In bio.
Yeah, please have Trump interacting with all the new bots on Twitter. That's exciting.
That's fun.
Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. I went bowling last night. I actually did pretty well.
Yeah.
Comparatively, which is to say that I'm normally, but okay. Having said that, so I'm bad at bowling, which Lillian knows. Yeah. We've bowled together before. I was chatting while throwing, and the ball kind of like slipped out of my head, went so slowly down went into the gutter, obviously, went so slowly down that it just stopped mid gutter. And we were like, what do we do? So then we had to be playing bowling and bocce ball, and we had to be clacking it along. And it did take two more throws.
Girlies getting it. Yeah.
But that's we got it.
Where were you bowling, for my own information?
Melody Lanes down in Sunset.
Yeah, sure.
Classic.
Sure. Yeah. That's really funny. I bowling is one of my favorite. If I have to do like an activity on a date or like with other people, I love bowling. And now that I'm like a nail girly, these are the choices I don't want to have to make. It's like really like fucks me up.
Yeah.
Because these are two things that I love very much. And now I'm like, I actually was like Googling like how to bowl.
Like with nails.
It's like, there's not any great answers out there. So it's a real crossroads for me.
Yeah. I'm trying to think really what hard. Would be like,
you got a grandma, you got to hold it and like, as if it's not already humiliating enough, I have to like squat and hold the ball on the exterior of it.
Grandma throw it.
And that's just like not the vibe, especially like if I'm trying to like also.
No, if you're trying to be like charming. Flirty. Yeah, that's not like.
It's like because not the
that
stance.
You can only do that like kind of flirting by being bad at something is obviously a great tactic. But
a classic.
You can only do it for so long before they're like, okay, does she actually have?
Is she sort of impaired in some way?
Is this best buddy?
Is she too? Can she consent?
Yeah. Is this allowed? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and then I just get mad. That what happened was to say I was bowling with some friends recently. I just got my nails done that day. I was very mad about it, and then I did badly while bowling, which put me in an absolute petulant. I was absolutely so pissed,
yes,
because I was losing so hard. And then of I was course. Like, "Well, this is fun for absolutely nobody. Like nobody's right. having a good time right now. I'm legitimately in a bad mood right now because of how badly I'm bowling, and like I need to get a grip, but also like someone needs to figure this out because this is This is a huge issue for me right now. So anyways, doing cool stuff out here in Oregon.
And these are the days of our lives.
Wasting away again in Eugene, Oregon. My last good years spent being upset in a bowling alley. I love it. Folks. Do you have a service story?
Okay, I have one that I could tell you, but it's gonna make you gag. It's a squeamish one. Do you want me to go with it or no?
It's like an injury thing.
Yeah, it's self harm.
Trigger content warning. What? I'm asking seriously.
Yeah, it's like yes.
So the answer is yes. The answer is not. Ooh, self-harm. No, it's literally an injury story. You say yes, Lillian, you're correct. Okay.
Yes.
It's Lillian. Fine. For our listeners' sake, I will again take the bullet. Go ahead.
I cut off half a fingernail on
Tuesday. Shut the fuck
And
up.
I had to do the thing where you cauterize it with salt.
No.
And you just stick it in a bowl of salt and just go, this will stop eventually. And so I was just sitting in the manager's office, and then the GM came in and she was like, hey, and she was like chatting to me. And then she was like, no, what's happening? Like we were just chatting about like, blah, 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 blah. Like, how was your day?
She realized you have your
finger in a bowl of salt and it was like slowly turning red. She was like, what is happening? And I said, I'm trying to cauterize a wound. And she was like,
okay.
She was kind of similar reaction. She was like, can you just go to urgent care? And I was like, I don't really know what they would do. I was like, I cut off the fingernail. It's gone. It's in the Bloody Mary mix.
Now that is innovation. Yeah. You know, some of the best, you know, chocolate chip cookies, they happen because of a mistake. Bloody Marys, you know, why not make them? Okay. couple of questions really quick.
Yes.
First, I am not fully up on the usage. Is cauterized just means, I thought it had to be like a heat element to it.
I think that is correct. I think that's correct. Technically, I think cauterizing is when you like burn it to stop it bleeding.
Yeah.
But you can use, they also recommended cornstarch. I was like, so I would just thicken up my blood.
Yeah, I'm making it Halloween Dracula blood. Thank you.
Thanks.
We put a little mint flavor in there as well. Mm. So is it like the salt kind of also like disinfect? This is very primeval.
I had only ever heard like, someone
reference it. Are there leeches somewhere? Like, what are we doing?
It's along those lines. I had heard someone reference it before using salt to help staunch bleeding, and I had never been bleeding that much, quite honestly. And so then this was bleeding quite a lot, and I was like, I don't see this stopping anytime soon. I got to do something. So I think it just, it constricts the blood vessels. Like, it makes them smaller.
Yeah. So the salt, it's getting into,
it's like
interacting.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. And then
randomly, you can also use cocaine to do that, because cocaine makes your blood vessels dilate.
Okay, I can think of a million other. Ice, for example, might be cheaper than packing your injury in cocaine.
Well, you don't pack, you just dab it.
You dab it. You're key bumping it into your fucking nail
bed.
Well,
my mom told me that hospitals used to use cocaine as just for like, you would use it, and then she was like, and then obviously people were not using it according to the medicinal for a long time, into like the 60s.
You mean like they had medical stashes of it, or they just were using personal?
No, medical stashes. Medical stashes.
I don't know what the nurses were up to. I mean, they were,
I'm sure a little bit.
Richard Speck was haunting the, a specter, and they were kind of coping any way they could. A specter. Yeah, I get it now. Okay, second question.
Speak on it.
How did that happen?
In hindsight, I was kind of chopping. This was kind of the vague motion of it.
Kelly is doing a Shelley Duvall running through the hallway with a giant knife with a limp wrist movement. It's just like,
I think I was just like, not like, I went into work on Tuesday. I did not want to be there.
And you didn't have to be. So well done at the end of the day.
Yeah. And so you manifested. It was very like adolescent. Like, I was kind of chopping, like being like, meh, meh, meh. And like, and then I was doing the thing where you like, I was cutting up poblano pepper, and I just.
No. Yeah. I've cut into my nail before, and it's always like a Thanksgiving mania. Like, that is kind of the vibe. So it's always like high stress moment of cooking. But I also, it's nail stuff.
It's crazy to me. I don't know how it's gonna heal. I'm like, it might do I live so like this forever? It bleeds so much. And I actually, like, I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, this is gonna take months.
Yeah. Well, you better take your vitamins.
Right. Which one?
Collagen and stuff. I don't know.
Collagen.
Okay. Whatever the nail. What's vitamin A? What's the nail one? B?
A, B, and collagen. That's what we're going
for. Yeah. Plexus. Fuck, dude. Well, I'm sorry. That sucks.
It's fine. I mean, now it's fine. I really, I'm not really sure. I mean, I'm bartending tomorrow night. Finger condom.
Double finger condom and duct tape it. You should just paint it with duct tape, but you should get like a paint. Don't they like second skin painted.
Oh, maybe I should get some of the like what they put on after a tattoo. Get like some of the
Like it's gonna inevitably. I mean, I've worn so many finger condoms in my life, and they just don't they're not waterproof. I'll never wear a finger condom. It just doesn't feel the same.
The same way.
But they, it's
after but it's I like, found it, out that you cannot have sex with a condom when you have chlamydia because you might still get chlamydia. I was like, I will never use a condom again.
Okay. I don't know if that is the lesson
to take. Okay.
I don't, I get the logic that you are kind of working through.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you to take it one step further.
I did also say that to Mark and he was like, okay, interesting.
I mean, if you want to get tested every week, I guess that's fine. But like, I mean, and I'm not the condom police, believe me.
Yeah.
If you're listening out there, I'm just kidding. No, but like, I mean,
I think loyal listeners can probably guess how frequently I get tested. Once a quarter.
I don't think loyal listeners.
It's infrequent is what I'm saying. I'm saying it's infrequent.
Well, that's not great, Kelly. Christ almighty. After a sentence with, I got chlamydia, I'm never using a condom again. I don't know, man. Like, I don't really, like, co-sign that. Like, I'm sorry.
No,
like,
I can see it from your perspective. I can see it from your perspective.
Thank you for being able to see it from the other fucking side. Jesus Christ.
Anyway, do you have any service stories?
Yeah, do I have any service stories? Like, how often I get tested for
sexual infection.
I swear to fucking god I am not nursing you. Okay, anyways, sort of stories. No, not really. I went to labor notes. I had a bad time. That was mostly my fault, as it usually is. But food wise, it's a desert. It's by the airport. The only good thing that happened was, well, there were a couple good things. One, I partied with our lawyer, which was sick. She's a labor lawyer. Oh, yeah. She's beautiful.
That's awesome.
And two, I went to a railroad workers party in a hotel room. That was pretty sick. But I was mostly very cranky and hung out in my hotel room alone. And the point is, I did have a giant martini that was so giant and heavy. I just needed like one drink. And I was like, I need one drink. I need to go to bed. Mm-hmm. I went to this like stupid steakhouse in a hotel because that's like the only option. And Kelly, it was like, the glass was this fucking big. It was the heaviest glass. And look, I'm not saying I'm so dainty. I had to two hand this glass.
Hell yeah.
It was the thickest fucking most giant martini glass I've ever. And I almost spilled it like three times dead sober because I couldn't hold it. Anyways, great martini. The guy next to me was like, how's that martini? I was like, good. Don't fucking talk to me. Do not speak to me or look at me. I'm drinking this as fast as I can and leaving. If I can raise it to my lips. like, but anyways, that's really
like a little cat.
No, I literally was like, can I get like a straw? Like I can't, I do have very small wrists, but like I've never had this problem before in my life. It's not like, it's like I'm drinking out of a scorpion bowl. Like why is this so fucking hard? And then I was like, maybe I'm just so unsteady. Like maybe I'm just reaching the point in my life where my nerves are so shot. I can't fucking drink a martini. It's like insane.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's very glam though.
Oh well, it is. Yes, she need. Yeah, got to take a couple dolls when I get back to the hotel room and really, yeah, you know. Anyways,
like, remember when Betty like goes out and gets like a gimlet and she's like, yes, goes and fucks the guy?
Yeah, that's a great episode.
I have to rewatch Mad Men.
I know. I don't think I can handle it right now because it always puts me into like a very intense space.
Oh, it's
but one of the all-time greatest rewatches, if you feel
I actually shouldn't do it during the summer because I will.
Yeah,
Dawn. Dawn like really lives in he is summertime sadness, and it's like you totally can't really do that. I need to be uplifted. I'm gonna watch Shogun.
Okay, let's get to it, shall we?
I would love to.
Okay, great. I'm on my lunch break. So this piece that we're going to talk about got sent to us by various people in our lives and has been, making the rounds this week on, I don't know, fucking the internet. And it is from The New Yorker, by Adam Isco. Why you can't get a restaurant reservation, how bots, mercenaries, and table scalpers have turned the restaurant reservation system inside out. So this was a really great, I feel like I don't often, and that's because they don't have the resources. It's nobody's fault, but it's not the writer's fault, the journalist's fault, but this is a really great piece that gives you so much background into kind of how reservation systems have worked, how they're working now. It's, I thought, very in depth and well done, but that's just
Yes, I
mine.
really enjoyed this piece. I think that it immediately made me, I was like, I have to start doing that. I mean, immediately I was like, I have to be one of these people that calls Polo Bar the second they open reservations. 'Cause even if you're like, okay, so he covers in this piece, there are definitely like bots, and there are definitely algorithms, and there are definitely like there's some level of kind of mechanization of basically what he's talking about is a reseller's market. People book reservations, rich people buy them. There's some amount of mechanization, but seemingly most of it is just people with spare time book a bunch of reservations under fake phone numbers and email addresses and fake names and whatever. And then they just manually upload it to, like, they said essentially like eBay 1995 style website. And then people just pay them hundreds of dollars. I was like, I could do that. Like, books open at 10 a.m. If you have a 9 to 5, you might be just settling into a meeting. What am I doing at 10 a.m.? Usually I'm
Not
like,
awake.
I'm usually by 10 a.m. I'm like in my kitchen, like hunched. You know what I mean? But I could be on the phone. I can be hunched and on the phone.
I gotta say, Kel, I don't see this for you, but I do like that it inspired you to do, borderline questionable, ethically questionable things.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I could not maintain this by any means.
I'm like, Kelly, did you answer that email from 3 weeks ago? No, I've been busy doing every single day, waking up and doing lots of interactions over the phone, buying and selling reservations. I haven't had time. That's those two things sort of, I think, are, you know what I mean? Like, that makes sense to me, Kelly, both of those things about you.
We did start recently. The restaurant like got a PR company, and I have to email them sometimes, or like they email me, and it's like it's the worst thing in the world. I'm like, I hope like ugh, like I'm like ugh. Just
Here's the thing.
emailing, first of all, a 2019 Tulane graduate is my main contact at the PR company.
Woof,
Bless her heart. Her
Einstein.
name is obviously Kylie. Every time she emails me, it's like a bullet to the chest. I'm like,
Yo, listen, and I don't want you or our listeners to think that I'm like being a bitch to you about the email thing, because I do genuinely like that about you, and I think that that is like the correct way to feel about emails. And I don't think it's good. I have started doing this recently, where because I send and receive probably 300 texts a day at least, I'm like, you know what? Not every text message gets a same day response.
I think that's really healthy.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's just like, let's like get back to saying, don't expect that from even your friends. Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I can get back to you tomorrow about this. Like, it's okay. Do you know what I'm saying? Same with emails, but emails are just, it's not natural. We shouldn't be beautiful women like you and I don't need to be click clacking through Gmail. It's like, that's not what we were made to do. So
absolutely not.
We were made to get up and give false names and addresses and buy up and sell reservations to people.
I see the fact that you don't have the fact that you don't have like other identities and false names is surprising.
What? Me?
You know what I mean? Like, I could just see you rolling through town, Belinda. You know what I mean? Going out to dinner. Oh, you know, Persephone.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think I have too much of an ego to want to pretend to be anyone else but myself.
Oh, okay.
I think that has, you know, when I went on my solo vacation, I said I could just simply be anyone right now. You know, no one would ever know.
Yeah. I just feel like I could see it for you.
Maybe it's something I'll take up soon. I mean, I don't have anything else to do out here.
Yeah. It'd be so funny to do in like kind of a small town and like, yeah, they're like, no, we, what?
Yeah. I go to like the ice local cream pizza parlor. Tavern. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello. My name is Perry Caitlin Winkle would Carlisle love a sample.
Okay.
For some reason, like, introduce, like, this just occurred because I was at Trader Joe's the other day and the cashier was wearing a pronoun pin.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's totally fine. Obviously, I'm not taking offense to it, but I was like, on what occasion would I need to refer to you in the second person? You know what I mean? Like, why would I be speaking about you?
Why would I ever need to reference you?
Like, but truly, like, I'm like, oh, like, okay, but we're very limited interaction where I'm gonna say you. I can't refer to you in the third person, but I guess now I am, so joke's on me.
Joke's right happening right now, actually. This is this is Kelly's going on tour. Yeah, woke is broke, FOH tour or whatever. I think it's probably
the Trader Joe's. You call that a grocery store?
I think it's probably like, oh, I'm looking for some ready to eat chicken cutlets. That person over there can help. Is that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why am I trying?
No, I mean, obviously I support it. I love it.
No, I know. This, Kelly, I understand completely. These are things that we say and think and then say immediately, I actually don't care. It's like, that's 100% of how I live my life every single day. I understand.
Yeah.
Totally. Anyways, back to this great piece.
Sophie's bringing me a coffee.
Oh, God, I'm so jealous. Wow. That's beautiful. I think... So, you know, the idea of like, first of all, none of the restaurants mentioned that are restaurants that like, you know, most people would want to go to, even people who are, I would say, like into food in New York City.
I think a couple of them are places that I have wanted to go. They're definitely like event, like I really do want to go to Tatiana.
Yes.
The chef is from Top Chef, which is a show that I love that you don't watch.
Yeah.
And Ruscioli, they have one in Rome. I tried to go when I was in Italy. They did not have space. And it was one of those funny things, actually, at Ruscioli in Rome. I went with my friend and we were like, we went early in the day and we were like, what are the chances that like two could walk in for like, around like 5 o'clock? And they were like, no, not for two, but maybe like each individual. And they were kind of being like that. Like they were kind of like, I mean, obviously I think something was kind of getting lost in translation. But I was like, so sorry, you're saying like you could have like
I and could would walk we be in.
Permitted to sit next to each other? Like, it's like, it's you fine. Like
next to the bar. Yeah. Like
it would, but it was just so fun. Anyway, so I could have used a little resi hack at that moment.
I mean, but yeah, I'm like, saying, yeah.
Places like Fort Charles that
That's
are just
what I mean. Yeah.
Openly, it's such a different New York life to mm-hmm. care about going there.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's like the joke of that world and the fact that one of these like services is called Dorsia from American fucking Psycho. It's like, it's so like self-referential. Like everybody knows what's going on. Like everybody.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, we're not really going there for the food. You know what I mean? It's like, that's not what it's about at all. It's just about accessing and being able to have whatever you want whenever you want it, which is like, I don't have to know a guy. I can just pay $1,000 to get a reservation for a very expensive meal. Like, it's like, I just want what I want when I want it, right?
Yes, 100%. It is, as with many things, represents such a death of culture because mm-hmm. they are speaking with, in this article, with old maitre d's and old reservationists from kind of the heyday of right. in my of the American Psycho yeah. era, kind of in my mind the
80s,
heyday
90s,
of like Le Cirque and mm-hmm. Le Bernardin and like these kind of things, and that was about being able to call in favors and say right. and like that was about being a good regular or tipping so well that on the way out the door you say, I would love to be able to come back for my anniversary in a couple months. And they say, oh, right. of course. We would love to have right. you. And now those fucking people, no fucking home training, new fucking money, crypto bullshit. I don't even know if that's true.
Yeah, it's true. Let's say it's true.
And yeah, exactly. Just exactly what you said. They just are like, they don't want to have to even spend 1 minute of their life being polite. They just are like, I'll pay $1,000.
Yeah. 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 And like, they don't have to have those quote unquote soft skills or talk to people who they think are beneath them or to people who they're like, these are just servants that I need to get what I, you know what I mean? So yeah, like there's no art in it. Right. And that's like when you have these, again, these fucking QR codes, when you turn workers into robots who are bringing you plates and bringing them back to the kitchen. And that's like the only thing they do. And now it's like, okay, now you don't have a connection or a relationship with somebody who knows you and your family or knows when your anniversary is or knows these things about you or, you know, has the power to say, like, I don't want this person in this restaurant. They've been here before and they're a fucking dick. It's like you make these reservations under these fake names or whatever. You pay $1,000 or whatever, but the connection is lost. The relationship's lost. The information is lost. It's all just like so sad. There's no like history or any kind of like something to build on or something to like hold on to. It's like so cold and like it's actually like makes me feel fucking sick. Not to be dramatic about reservations, but it's like it's just indicative of all of these other problems, like you said.
Exactly.
It's just so gross.
And I think it's like also, and we've talked about this on this podcast, it's like also such a fundamentally sad and dehumanizing way yeah. of just literally interacting with food, which is like mm-hmm. that, I mean, and I know people like joke about that, like, oh, phone eats first, camera eats first. But it's like, that is actually so sad because food is literally like you're literally in communion with someone when you're sharing a meal. And so if what that becomes to you is something that you like refract, it has to be something that you, it's not, because it's not even just for the people in the room. Like, hey, listen, it's one thing to be like, this is like this kind of like rare. We're going to the box and right. I'm not going to get in, but you can get in. And if you want to go there and party with your friends, go right. off.
Right.
I can't get in there. That's great. There should be rarefied spaces. There should be exclusive spaces. That's yeah. great. Not money necessarily, but like right. vibes, like whatever. But if you can only think about, so it's not just for the people in the room, even though you're in this stupid fucking Four Charles place, it's so that you can then post it on your Instagram, which is also like a weird dying digital wasteland of like just shopping and like, ugh. And then, I mean, of course I'm not on TikTok, like I'm only on Reels because I'm 30 and I don't know what's going on. And like, so it's also refracted in my mind through that I'm like, it's on Reels of all things.
It's no, it's so, yeah. And it also like, you know, people are making, like, there's no accountability either. Like, nobody has accountability to each other because, like, if you make a fake reservation and you don't show up, it's like, you're not getting in trouble for that because it's not your name. Do you know what I mean? And then the yeah. restaurant loses that. And then it's like, yeah, like, curation of a restaurant, not to be like, but that is part of it, right? And, like, you encourage the people who you want to come back and you have, maybe there's, like, some really fucking cool artist who isn't super loaded, but like goes there or goes with, you know, fucking people who are giving them grants. Or like, there's all of these little microcosms that cease to exist when it's dominated by people who just say at all costs, I need a table at this restaurant. And also they cited this thing where like these people called and were pleading to get a reservation, said, my mom she's just, you know, beat cancer. She really wants to come here. And then the people who showed up for that reservation are like 3, you know, 20 somethings. And it's like, man, if that happened to me and I would like book that reservation, I don't think I could not say like, it's a shame your mom couldn't make it. Or
did she die? Did cancer get her
in between?
You thought she beat it, but
funeral planning, like
sesh.
So anyways, whatever. We complain about everything all the time. It's just like,
but it's also, I think like on a different level of like, besides all the like complaining is I'm like, can you guys ever just have like a joyful sense of whimsy and just like
yeah.
the fun of no. it? Like, okay. I went to, cause I'm a freak last summer. There's no Shakespeare in the Park session this summer. Cause they're redoing the theater, which thank God I hate that fucking theater.
Okay.
So I went twice. Last summer, Shakespeare in the Park famously is day of. The tickets are free.
Right.
Day of. And you can go to Central Park. You can go. There are lots of public libraries. There are other public theaters, whatever. And that is another line like the Lucali line where common. And this is that kind of a shadow economy has existed for a long time where. And if you look on Craigslist, if you look Shakespeare in the Park, people will pay, you know, you give someone $100, they show up at 6 a.m., whatever.
Right.
To get tickets. So that has existed for a long time. But I went, both times I just went when they were dropping tickets, got in line, said, I hope I make it. Both times I did. And there were other times because I really wanted to see, they did 2 shows, I really wanted to see both. There were times that I didn't get tickets. There were days I didn't get tickets. And I was never... It's just such a, I'm like, can you just like enjoy your life? Can you just be like, I'm like, I literally, the times that I didn't get tickets, it's still fun to me because I'm like, this is like such a special like New York experience, not to be gay, but like,
yeah,
this is this special thing. And I think it's such a cool program that the city does of these free tickets. And like, even when people do hack it, like still most people there are like, they're
because, together like, and it's like, yeah,
I don't know. Like, I'm like, can you just like, isn't there some part of you, even in your like heart that's been so poisoned by money and by Facebook and by Instagram and every bad thing in life and you can only wear Alex Mill and you're a horrible person, but isn't there some kernel in your, like the Grinch, like some tiny yeah. kernel in your heart where you're like, can just be like, life is fun and I have friends and I move through the world and I enjoy, like, that's the other thing for me is I'm like, it does represent so much death and bad stuff, but also I'm like, it represents so much bad stuff because like the flip side is good stuff.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, like, one of the guys in here, I think he started one of the websites, maybe like the main one, the like reseller, was like, This all started because I was pissed I couldn't get an appointment at the DMV. And it's like, I just like, that's just like something, that's just like a government, like, you just have to do that. That's just like what you can't get out of every experience. And honestly, I had a great time the last time I went to the DMV. I'm not even fucking joking. I did. I had a great time. I'm just like,
love that for you. Obsessed with that for okay, you.
Okay. That's also because I live in Eugene, Oregon. So it's like everything, you know what I mean? I have to make the best
absolutely
of it.
Obsessed with that for you.
But like, yeah, I agree. It's like, it is ultimately, it's kind of like the teacher thing where it's like, well, when you cheat, you're only cheating yourself. You know no, what I mean?
Absolutely.
But that's true. It's like, okay, yeah. Like you can waste tons of money to sit and be with people you probably don't even like, that you just want to respect you or whatever, and eat some meal that you're going to forget about. Or, but like, that fucking sucks. Like that's, I do truly feel bad for you because like, that is not joy. That's not a human experience. That is, you're playing a game that like, what's the fucking end of this? Like, what's the point? It's like, it's so fucking forgettable. It's so, there's nothing to hold on to once again. It's just like, yeah, pathetic, but not my problem. Not my game.
Not my fucking problem. Yeah.
Also, with all the great places to eat in New York, it's like so stupid. It's like just, we know exactly. It's just so obvious what it's about. It's just like silly to me, but whatever.
Yeah. I just, I'm like, it's shocking to me how little people want to have fun, I think, is yeah, something totally. That I like. I realize like almost daily, like it's like 50 first dates vibes. Every day I wake up and I have to watch a video that says like people don't want to have fun. And then I go, oh, right.
Yeah.
But I'm like, listen. And there's a lot of critique to be made about New York being like extending adolescence and permitting you to have kind of a fake immature life, and like I'll probably live with my roommate till I'm dead, and I'll probably like never be in a real relationship, and I'll be a bartender with half a fingernail, you know what I mean, until my last days. Mm-hmm. But I like that stuff, and yeah. I'm doing it because it's fun, and it's so weird to me that other people aren't, that that's not a bigger motivation in other people's lives.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm like, makes me want to fucking throw up to think about the alternative, which is what, like, I don't know, owning a house. I mean, that would be yeah. kind of cool, but like, that's not going to happen for me. What, having a baby? I don't think so.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
But even like, no, obviously, like, though. Grad school and like where you're not at now, like, that's not necessarily like fun. In the classic sense, but it's like you followed something that was like so interesting to you, and like that literally started during COVID 4 years ago when you were like, I want to audit this class because this is interesting to me, and like that still like came from like a truth
yeah
life generative yeah. intellectual curiosity, you know what I mean, like that is. So while not like necessarily fun, like something that is, it's warm. It's from warmth.
I'll say that. It's warm. Hey, we're getting warmer here. Yeah, I think, you know, and like I get younger, even though I'm very young, younger people asking me for advice or like, you know, this happened just this week and happens a lot. And they're always like, it's never advice that they want to hear because I'm just like, or the ones that are very uptight and nervous and anxious and like, what do I do with my life? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I'm really not the best person to ask because like, I've done so much dumb shit and I have been like pretty okay with all of my choices, but I don't know. The answer is just like, do the stuff that you like and have, and if you're having fun, keep doing it. If you're not, you can change your mind at any time because like, that's how life works. For the most part, if you're lucky, obviously, but like,
yeah,
you can make a change and like, you know, so yeah, I think like, I'm always like, I did the dumbest like chain of events in my life. I did the stupidest jobs, like, but I was just like going with like what I wanted to do. So I don't know. They don't like that answer, but that's what it is, you know, and look at us now.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, make a plan, God laughs, you know? Exactly. That's the other thing is like, I mean, and honestly, sometimes when I'm futzing around in our reservation books, I'm saying that to these people. You think you're booking one thing. No, you're not. I'm moving your shit around because I need to.
Sorry.
It is so funny. Even like, obviously, the restaurant I work at is not part of this kind of shadow trade because it is a taco restaurant. And you would have to be
insane. Wait, I paid the guy like $500 to get in there when I...
You would have to be so insane. Like, imagining paying more than you will spend at the restaurant. Or like us being like on that Dorsey app and being like, you have to spend $1,000.
It would be like funny. A buyout, like, private party.
That would be a buyout.
Yeah.
But it is funny, even in this like little taco restaurant that I work at, people will sometimes put in their like visit notes. We use Resy and you can put in your, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And people will be like, oh, we'd love like a corner table or like a quiet table in the back or like whatever. They kind of like add in their little like notes. And I'm like, first of all, you're living in a fucking fantasy. This is in the East Village. These tables are
a concrete block.
Away from each other. Yeah. Nothing is in a corner. Like, I'm like, what? It's just so funny. Like,
yeah, this isn't like a fern bar in like fucking uptown in the 80s. Yeah. What are you talking about? Yeah.
Just always interesting kind of how much people want to be able to dictate their own experience. And it's like, listen,
that's not how this works.
Not on my fucking watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is like the fun thing is like, I'm going to the restaurant to be taken in by the experience.
Yes.
And like the difference to me is like restaurant is when you go to the movie theater to see a movie and you can't look at your phone or you'll be heckled. And so you have to completely give yourself over. And it's such a different experience than watching TV or watching something on your laptop or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, get takeout. If what you want is the experience of watching TV on an iPad, get takeout. You still don't have to cook for yourself if you don't feel like it. Just get it to go. And even nice restaurants do to go.
Yeah.
If you want the movie theater experience, you have to just say,
you gotta let go.
Sit me where you want. Play the music that you want. Whatever.
And isn't it nice to let go for a second? I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's hard for me, but like, it's nice to just surrender yourself to whatever chaos you're about to walk into and say like, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's kind of fun, right? You know?
Yeah, of course.
Jesus.
Of course. It's like,
and it's probably, sometimes it's really bad and then you have a great story. That's like, there's no one loses here.
Nobody loses. And sometimes it is forgettable. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm forgettable, you know? I don't know.
I've been forgotten a million times. You know?
One time, and then we should close. But Kelly and I were talking in a private conversation about, I hope I can say this, about a recent... Basically, Kelly was like, I don't want to be this man's, like, the first woman he's with after, like, he is divorced, basically.
Right? Oh, Scott? You're talking about Scott?
I don't remember his name, obviously.
Okay, fine.
Anyways, but you were like, it's too much for me. I don't want to do that. And I was like, that is my ideal situation. Because I want to be burned into someone's memory for the rest of their lives. You know what I mean? Like that is unforgettable. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that's, you're really making your mark. So I'm asking you, Kelly, to reconsider your, you know, I know that you don't like
the
commitment of that, which I understand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's okay. There are loyal listeners of this podcast who are just ex-boyfriends of mine because they're obsessed with me.
No, you know? I'm not saying...
I got my hooks in.
Oh, 100%. I'm not saying that I know that you do. I'm just saying...
Yeah. I don't need to faff about with a divorced journalist.
Okay. I'm just saying...
I know. These are two different minds. And this is why the podcast works.
And look, Kelly has, that's not to say Kelly doesn't have her share of obsessed men, of course. It's just a different, you know, a different tactic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yours makes sense. Mine's more psychotic, but yours also is more prudent in that way, even though in other ways you're extremely insane when it comes to personal relationships. But so am I. So cheers. And cheers to that.
Thank you. Thank you. Both my parents are Aquarius, in my defense.
Oh. Yeah, that's rough.
So my love map is very, you know, it's all over the place.
Is that what they're saying now? Love map?
Honestly, I got that from Criminal Minds. So no.
Okay.
So no. I wouldn't say so.
Is Criminal Minds the one with Vincent D'Onofrio?
No, that's one of the Law and Order many Criminal iterations.
Intent. It's Criminal Intent.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny that that's real. I thought you were making a joke. It is Criminal Intent. That's so fucking funny.
He used to be so hot.
Yes. Oh my God. Mystic Pizza.
Lord have mercy. Yeah.
Criminal Minds is, it started with
Mandy Patinkin.
Mandy Patinkin. And then he quit because he was like, oh, this is a show where they just, it's like torture porn, basically.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't like that. So he quit. And then they brought in
Mark Harmon.
Yeah. Is Mark Harmon Greg from Dharma and Greg?
Nope.
Nope. Well, Greg from Dharma and Greg was on that show. And he got fired because he kicked one of the writers, which is insane.
Man, he really was Dharma's opposite, huh?
Yeah, I'll say. It is the funniest show on television. I love Criminal Minds. I love that show.
I think Mark Harmon's in like JAG or whatever that show is. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do know JAG. Oh my God, yes, of course. That's like only context for that show for me is like being homesick from school.
I also used to have a big crush on Mark Harmon. And he wasn't he CJ's like love interest for a second on when he got shot? That was we've talked about that on this podcast.
Anyways. Yes. Oh my God. Yes, he was. He was the Secret Service agent that he was protecting CJ. And then they were like, CJ doesn't need to be protected anymore. And then he goes into the bodega and he tries to stop a robbery and he gets shot and killed.
CJ, Craig, and never stood a chance.
And then the Republican that's running against Bartlett is like, boy, it's because of crime in the big city. And Bartlett's like, I'm going to kick your fucking ass, dude. Love the West Wing.
Oh, you know, I know we're not supposed to like it, but with the storyline like that, come on.
I love All that right. show. I will Toby. Die loving that show.
I mean, look, we don't agree with the politics, but you got to get behind Bradley.
They could never make me hate you.
Bradley Whitford. Listen, sir.
Such a delusional era. But I'll watch anything Aaron Sorkin writes, but that in particular is so special to me.
Bradley Whitford was born to read the words of Aaron Sorkin. Like, there's no match better made, in my opinion, on this earth than those two.
Yes. Yes. They're like, I don't know anything about movies. I was trying to say, who's Marlena Dietrich's famous collaborator, whose name I forget?
Oh, forget also. Doesn't matter. We know who the stars of Criminal Intent are, and that's what really matters.
Do we know about, you know?
What is Bradley Whitford's sign, and why is he also so attractive? Okay.
That's a really interesting question.
I bet he's, okay, I'm going to take a guess.
Okay, I'll take a guess too. I'll take a guess too.
We're doing silent guesses.
I have to think.
Okay, I would do like Leo probably, or there's definitely fire in his chart somewhere. But maybe
he's not a Leo.
Okay,
you're just trying to justify your attraction to him.
You think I'm into Leos? You're crazy. Incorrect.
Well, my Venus is in Leo, so I can't help being attracted.
I know. Yeah, you're sick. Okay, should we just have this conversation off mic? Sorry,
yeah, probably. I'm going to guess that he is, I think he might be like a Capricorn.
No, you're right. Or like Virgo with like a fire placement or something like that.
Like me.
All right, we're looking it up later. Folks, sorry, we meant to have 10 minutes of this conversation just us. And I think that there's probably some new patrons. Welcome. We will name you next time. Please sign up, review, rate, subscribe, tell a friend, and thanks for listening.
Love ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.